Thank you, Mac. Thank you, choir and Heather and our strings. Our ninth lesson this morning is from the book of John. It's called The Overture to the Book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I think I've already played my hand a little bit with the children's sermon. I'm just now getting used to having to know where one child is located, let alone where 10 or 12 should be. All these readings tell a story. And these are stories that we have heard from the time that we were children to now, most of us. Some of them, though, some of these readings are more story-like than others. The prophecies create a vision. The narratives give details. We call the gospel the good news, so it makes sense that since it's news, we know the times and the places and the people involved. It's also important to remember that this is news. We don't call the gospel the good advice. It's the good news because it has happened, because God has done this for us. But this passage from John does not read exactly like a news piece. It's more like the start, maybe to a novel, almost something science fiction. If Matthew and Luke located the story in real time and identified the real people, John holds on to the cosmic perspective. And that's perspective that we always need to maintain. As much as we love the story, when we come around to John's story, we are reminded of the gravity of what God has done. John reminds us that the good news is also simply more than simply one day's news or one place's news or one group of people's news. The good news is the word. Logos is the Greek word, and at the time it meant purpose, the whole reason, the whole understanding for being the Word. We also hear that the good news is the light. Today we've been singing songs that we know, we've been hearing words that we recognize. As the Word of God, Jesus makes sense of the world, reveals God's purposes. Jesus is God's translation of himself to us. And as the light that darkness cannot overcome or even comprehend, Jesus is that as well. Jesus is the light as well, and he dwells in us with his Holy Spirit and can call out light and bring up light even when we think and feel that we are in darkness. And perhaps these songs provide light in the dark places in our lives, the dark times in our lives. Even if maybe we aren't going through that dark a time personally, we know that there are many around us who are. We still wander in a world of darkness. And the light of Christ shines on the forgiveness of sins that he offers. The light of Christ shines on God's love and on the sacrifice that he has made on the cross on our behalf. God's light shines on the new life in resurrection. And that's light that can shine through any darkness. As we sing and as we rehearse and as we remember, God is calling us not only to remember that light, but to pursue it, deepen our understanding of it. As I told the kids, knew someone, actually for a summer, an entire summer, back when I was in seminary. I served as a chaplain at Wake Med Hospital in Raleigh, and I was assigned to the neurological intensive care unit and the neurological rehab unit, mostly severe head injury victims, stroke sufferers, and most of them could talk and respond a little bit, but some of them just could not talk, could not formulate a response to any questions. They would try to maybe talk or make noise, maybe become more agitated if someone came in or left the room. So I was talking with the nurses, you know, how do I, as a chaplain, how do I relate with these people? And one of the speech therapists took me aside, and we ended up working together through a good part of that summer, and she said, read the Psalms and sing. Read the Psalms and sing, and you might be surprised when you see lips moving, when you hear breath coming, because the part of our brains that remembers those things is deeper and more, maybe even more natural than the parts of our brains that simply respond to questions and that express our feelings. There's something deep down inside us that remembers these songs and even remembers these passages as we can recite them. So I would do that, and then I would report back to the speech therapist, and we sort of formed a team on what people could respond to, what people could say, whether or not they were breathing well and their voices were working. But it's striking that this time of year, as we get closer to the Christmas season, we sing these songs over and over. We remember these words. We rehearse what God has done for us. No matter how dark it is around us, even how dark it is inside us, deep, deep down, God has given us this light. God calls us to recognize the light that is in Christ, calls us to follow it and pursue it through all the darkness, because the darkness cannot overcome it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.